Now on News Talk, as part of our documentary on News Talk series, producer Grainne McPolan explores the story of County Kerry Cricket Club and how the New Irish have helped to bring about a resurgence of this once dormant sport in Willow on Leather.
When you think about County Kerry, many things might come to mind. Gaelic football, natural beauty, the Healy Rays maybe. But what of the game of cricket?
Yesterday I had the right frame of mind, the right concentration.
Played in Ireland since the 18th century, a club was formed in Kerry in 1872, and the sport was popular there until wartime, when it went into decline. By the 1980s, there was talk of cricket being played in the kingdom again. Gordon Revington is a journalist and former chairman of County Kerry Cricket Club.
The genesis of the revival, which took place some 40 years after the cricket appeared to have vanished off the face of the earth altogether in Kerry, occurred when there was a lad called Eric Lye, who was from Bath. And in the winter of 1987, he was sort of putting up this idea of, can we get a cricket team going? And I just said, 40 years gone, it's all over. There's no gear, there's no ground. But the captain of the rugby team, club at that stage, was Gary Fort. And Gary had played for Munster Schools in his time, so he was a useful enough cricket player. And so he joined in, and Dave Ramsey had played in Black Rock. He wanted to have a crack at it. I played in school, so, you know, I said, and then we got a couple of other guys, and there were a couple of doctors up in the hospital, a Pakistani guy and an Indian. And we managed to cobble together a couple of players and to practice and so on.
At last, the new cricket team is beginning to take shape, and now they've managed to obtain cricket gear and kit from an unlikely source.
In 1988, summer, we played four games, I think it was, and we only won one. But, I mean, we had no gear, and yes, I think Limerick Cricket Club, in fairness, were very good to us. They threw down a few elderly bats and raggedy pads and so on. We got Baker's uniforms and ripped the trousers off them to play to the whites, and you know, we were able to source white shirts and all that stuff. It was all pretty basic, and the cricket was first ball, Taverner's cricket. We got a lot of encouragement then from the cricket union, who said, you know, they were very glad to see another team coming up, so they said, why don't you sort of play competitively next season?
Here's a bunch of guys from different cultural backgrounds who have gotten together to revive what was once historically considered the sport of the English colonists. And they're on a winning streak as well.
The following year we headed off for Lismore for our first league game, and but it developed on from there, and we actually won the league and the cup that season. We got notions of ourselves then, and we started playing in the senior cup the year after that again. That was 91. And we actually reached the final of the Junior Cup in 92, and we got badly beaten by Limerick in the final, but we came back a year later and won it. After that, we got even more notions, and we decided to apply to go up to what's now the Premier Division.
All they needed now was to find a more permanent home ground.
We set up a pitch in the middle of the rugby club. We weren't allowed to play in the middle of the first team pitch anymore. We also moved out of the rugby club into a field next door for a while, into what we call Galvin's Field. And we played there for five seasons, I think. And then a second club cropped up in Listowel as well. So we had local opposition. So Listowel used to come over on I think, Tuesday nights, and we'd play a 2020 match. In our more recent years, we'd been playing up in the sports complex. That was really kind of in a part of Tralee, you know, if you're not going to the sports complex, you aren't going to see it. Out now, we're out in an exposed area, and far more people are watching what's going on a fine day. It's lovely, in fairness. It's a fine day when the tide's in.
I've been playing here for the last 9 years now, and I really love playing County Kerry Cricket Club, and it's really our club, so yeah.
Speaking with a marked Kerry accent, Alan Morshed hails all the way from Bangladesh. He calls Kerry his home now.
And I started playing cricket when I was like 15. I played for Munster under 15s, under 17s, and I was in the squad of under 19s. And also then I played up in the Leinster League, which is in Dublin, and I played for Phoenix Cricket Club there in the Phoenix Park, and I'm currently playing for Phoenix as well.
a natural cricket player since his childhood days in his native country. He's able to play cricket to professional level here in Ireland, the stuff of dreams until recently. The reason for this is that Ireland achieved international test status in June 2017, opening up opportunities for people like Alam, who have crossed the globe in search of work, a better life, and a chance to excel in the sport of his birthright.
Cricket is growing rapidly in Ireland, and it does help a lot, obviously, for especially, I mean, I love myself cricket, like, so I want to see myself up the level as far as I can go, so yeah, it's helped me a lot.
At first the ball looked straight enough, I had it in my sights, but such was its rotation that it swerved out to the right.
We achieved test status in June just gone, which is a fantastic event.
Peter Dineen, Cricket Ireland.
It means that we now joined the 10 other nations in test cricket ourselves in Afghanistan. So that comes to 12, and we would hope to play our first test match in the early part of next year, hopefully at home.
What does that mean for local cricket clubs like County Kerry?
I think the big difference, of course, is financial. At the moment, Cricket Ireland receives about $3 million in US dollars from the International Cricket Council. I think what you will see now that we've achieved test status, that will double to $6 million. And the hope is that will filter down into clubs such as County Kerry, such as the Cork County Cricket Club and Cork Harlequins here in the city of Cork, and other clubs around the country. So a lot of money will go into infrastructure. So I think we're very hopeful in Irish cricket that our playing population will increase significantly quickly. At the moment, we have about 20,000 people that play the game in Ireland, north and south. So that playing population has to increase if we're going to be competitive at test level.
Ireland has achieved international test status in the world of cricket. This means that the country can compete with other test nations professionally. This is a much-needed boost for cricket in Ireland, considered a minor sport. It received little or no media coverage, and even less in the way of instruction in mainstream schools.
There is a passion for cricket in Ireland.
Mike Gatting, former England captain and test cricketer, now Cricket Partnerships ambassador at Lord's Cricket Ground, London.
I think it's slowly building, but I think, as I say, the structure that's in place now has been rewarded by the ICC with test status. And I really do hope and pray that the Irish do continue to play, because they are passionate about the sport, whatever they play, whether it be hurling or Gaelic football or of course rugby. There is passion. I mean, you think it's such a small island, the quality of players they produce is just fascinating.
Notwithstanding that the sport has gained huge popularity, in particular with the Asian community, natural cricket players who have settled in Ireland and seen essentially as the new Irish. Peter Dineen.
The new Irish, the Asian population in particular, have been a very welcome addition to the game here in Ireland. They've learned the game in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and they've bought a new brand of cricket, which is exciting. And I know that Cricket Ireland see a huge opportunity in developing the game through the growing Asian populations in Tralee, Cork, Dublin, Galway, etc. So that's an exciting aspect. And I suppose, you know, the game in this country has always been multicultural, but it's even more so now in the last decade, which is great.
Of course, cricket comes with a lot of baggage. Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport, Shane Ross.
It's patently obvious now that there's a growth in Irish cricket, and it's organic, it's spontaneous, and it's growing itself because people see it as a good sport. And I don't think we need to push it down the throats of anyone at all. I think it's going to evolve, and it's going to evolve very, very quickly. And we've seen the numbers increasing in recent years. And why is that? I think there are two reasons. One is because it's a great game. And I think a lot of young people acknowledge it as a great game, and it's an international game, and we're global and multicultural. But also I think we've got over the kind of that slightly anti-cricket feeling, which was part of the national culture, which was an expression of hostility, I suppose, or detachment from anything that was British or was played by people who are Anglophiles. And I think now that it's going to develop spontaneously because of that, because people don't see it in that way anymore, and they say let's try it. And it's a great game, it's a different game. We've also got a multicultural society now. which is really welcome. And we have people living here whose parents came from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and all those places. And they, some of them, as children, have been brought up as cricketers and have been playing cricket all their lives, and they're all Irish people. And I think that's going to develop it as well. So I don't want to impose it as a Minister for Sport on the schools at all, but I certainly would encourage it because it's a great game, and I'm in favour of diversity of all sorts.
How many nations represent Kerry in cricket today?
Well, we have a good few, all right. We have, like, specialists like myself, Bangladeshian, we have Pakistanis, Indians, we had one few, Sri Lankan as well. And we have Australians, we have English and Irish now, obviously, and we also have Zimbabwean and South African as well. Yeah, so it's multi-cultural sort of sports, as you know.
Up. Where's the storm?
Yeah,
where are you from? Who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Are you getting thick?
In an effort to make a new life here in Ireland, these guys have travelled thousands of miles across several continents, enduring long periods of absence from their families. To be able to play cricket and be part of a team not only brings them together into the community, but also introduces the locals to the different cultures and customs. That's cricket.
We both are from India, and this guy from Nepal, other guy from Afghanistan, and they are quite few from Pakistan. We all speak same language. We all speak same language. We can understand same language. So it's not a big, you know, difference.
We speak many languages.
I speak English. And
only allowed to speak English?
Yeah.
Everybody knows what everyone is saying if everyone's speaking one language. That's the only reason.
With so many nationalities making up the County Kerry cricket team, and to avoid any confusion, the language of play is decidedly English. Unless, of course, you want to rattle a batsman. Dave Ramsey, club chairman, throws some light on this finer detail of the game.
Speaking Urdu is a distinct advantage. You got to speak English on the field in Dublin because the umpires must know whether there's slagging, what they call in cricket, sledging, which is when a guy is trying to upset a batsman, saying, hey man, your ass is too big for your pants. It's things like that. Sledging is called, to try and upset the concentration of the batsman. And sledging isn't allowed. But with the influx of the Asians, they're all speaking Urdu on the field. And they're all giving out that he's saying this and no one can say. So in Dublin, strict. Here it's not.
Sam plays cricket for Kerry. This is his story.
My name is Imran Saeed, and I'm from South Africa, Cape Town, and my nickname is Sam.
Sam's life has changed direction in an unexpected way.
I'm here about 4 years. Basically, I came here for study, and I finished my study, and then I got a bit of sick, so I had to move in this place. After my treatment, maybe I'll probably go back home or stay here, not sure, but let's see. But it's okay now, I'm fine, yeah.
He works long hours in a busy town centre Indian restaurant.
It is a busy place, actually. You don't see, from outside, maybe it's, quiet, but when you come and sit inside, you will know, actually, how busy it is. It's quite a big restaurant.
And when it comes to playing cricket, his boss is accommodating.
Sometimes I don't work because of my cricket, and my boss, he let it be because he knows I play, and he don't say nothing, and that's why, it's so comfortable to work here. I don't have any problem to go to the match or play in the match because he knows I play cricket. So yeah, actually that's why I didn't want to move from here, because whenever I ask him, yeah, I have a match, yeah, okay, no problem, you go. So yeah, that thing's made me work here. It's a good place, it's comfortable, everything is fine, and my boss is good.
Ireland and South Africa share a common time zone, but it's 9,000 miles across two continents before he gets to see his family.
Well, my family is my dad still in South Africa there, everyone is there. They live in Cape Town, so I'm just here only. Everyone is there.
Having the chance to play cricket here in Kerry has given Sam the lifeline he needs while he's so far away from home.
When I'm with the lads, with the team, I don't miss actually, because when we play a game, I think you probably see like we love each other, like, you know, we have fun, talk to each other, you know, pull everyone, like, you know, pull each other. That made me so happy, like, you know, that keep us happy. It's a part of a game, but yeah, it's good part, like, you know. When I'm home, yeah, I miss my family, that's right. But most of the time I'm with the team, you know, so that makes me busy in the work.
Sam has come a long way in a short space of time and has confronted personal challenges. He's making the most out of life in his adopted country, Ireland. What keeps him here?
People are good here, and that made me stay here too. So there's two things, people and the club members, you know. Yeah. It's a beautiful day.
A level playing field took on an interesting slant when the contractors arrived on site to start work on transforming a sloping marshland into a pitch suitable for the County Kerry Cricket Club.
I can remember the first day, or the second day, one of our cat excavators, he was coming up towards the road cleaning a water course, and he got buried. He went down 8 or 9 feet. We'd have so much experience of working, and it was a real swamp, that place. Now, it was just a pure swamp. You know, just inside the gate now, and geez, we said, what do we have to leave ourselves in for, like, because it didn't seem that bad when we walked around it. Dave was there waving his hand, and yeah, you're great fellas, you do it all right.
The slope wasn't the problem for the contractors.
Well, the slope would be easy, we'd take no notes of that. If the machines can stay up on the ground, it's when they're sinking down, you're in big trouble and you can do nothing.
They actually make the ground level. Tim Allman explains.
We actually dug away all that soft ground and put it down near the sea there on the low point, and we put good material over it, and we just spread it out and got rid of it. Now we had to do a cut and fill, we'll call it. We had to cut maybe 2 metres off the high side, and that's dropped into the low side until they level it up.
And the pitch needs to be reasonably weatherproof.
A lot of the time now we'd put in a lot of extra drainage and sand and that into, you know, playing pitches now especially, but they would have a lot more traffic than the cricket pitch has. Cricket is nearly paid on one, on the crease really, but there's a lot of traffic there, but the rest of the pitch then doesn't get it. A GAA pitch there now, all the pitch gets heavily trafficked and there'd be more games in the winter, and whereas the cricket people seem to prefer the fine day, you know.
The Allman brothers are well known in the muck-shifting industry of North Kerry. They were given the job of turning a steep, sloping, boggy swamp into a cricket ground. Now the job is done. How did he think it all went?
That's actually a great satisfaction, you know, when you would drive past the cricket ground and see it, and it is in such good condition. And it was a very simply done job, really, at the end of the day.
You're listening to Willow on Leather on Documentary on News Talk.
It's 2016, and nearly a year since the contractors finished work on the cricket ground construction. The club is now halfway through its first season in their brand new home at the Oyster Oval. Dave and Richard are shoveling sand onto the pitch to maintain its spirit level, paying special attention to the busiest parts of the cricket ground, the outfield and the crease.
This is the outfield here, and when you get a new outfield, it's pretty difficult to get it completely level. And cricket pitches, by their nature, the ball must roll. And for example, that's a little furrow. If the ball was coming at speed and kind of hit the furrow, the ball could shoot up. So you try and get your pitch as level as possible. I'm not talking about slopes or that, I'm talking about the level playing field. In other words, we're trying to fill in these furrows so that they will come level with the rest of the ground. It's a small exercise, but very important. And we're doing it late in the season, but better late than never.
How often do you have to do this, Richard?
Hopefully not more than once.
And how many furrows do you have to do?
Basically, there's just a couple here. These are the main ones, because they're so close to the wicket. You know, you really want to try and get them nice and level.
So it levels the playing pitch. And what else does it do?
Well, that's basically what it is. It's just, the grass will come up through the sand and it'll make it nice and level in the long term.
So you're shoveling it out, and then I see you using a brush. Explain that.
Sprinkle the sand down with a shovel, and then we have to brush it into the grass. We have to brush it in so that it forms
grass
will grow through it and level it up.
The Oyster Oval is also home to North Kerry Cricket Club, and Chairman Louis McDonough, who hails from Listowel, the literary capital of Kerry, is almost poetic when he describes what it's like to play a game of cricket on his gently sloping home ground.
Hills and dales.
What do you mean now, hills and dales?
It's reasonably flat now, it's got a slope. You'll be betting, and the fella fielding where the guy is up down near the fence. He could be 14 or 15 feet above you, like, you'd hit the ball uphill.
We use the sporting analogy of the level playing field to determine fair play on and off the pitch. In terms of physical location, the Oyster Oval is not exactly level. Indeed, they have something unique in common with a certain cricket ground in London.
Nursery end, Luke Jobs.
Fraser Stewart, MCC and Lords, explains.
Well, I think the first thing to say, the sloping ground made my ears prick up, because here we have a very famous slope at Lords. It's not flat. There's, I think, a 9-foot drop from one side to the other. So not all cricket pitches have to be even and flat.
Finally, a wicket.
Back home, Richie Rutland, club vice chairman, seems happy with the new ground.
Oh, basically, 12 months ago, this outfield that's out here, this ground, was a bog. And the Allman contractors came in and did a lot of work digging it out and levelling it off. And they did a lot of work for us to get it to what it is today.
He's anxious about the lack of basic facilities for the players.
Well, planning permission has gone in for what's called a weather and storage pavilion, which basically means it'll have a dressing room and somewhere to store gear. That's basically it. That's where we're at with that at the moment.
The planning application for the cricket pavilion has been submitted, and now it's just a waiting game as to whether it's successful or not. In the meantime, Dave Ramsey has a more pressing issue to attend to in the form of a netting area for team practice and warm-up. However, this not only yields a new set of problems for the club chairman, but also brings out the plain talker in the man in an effort to quell local anxiety, albeit in a good-humoured way.
This netting is old netting, but we could hang it over on that wall there where balls are going in, so it could be of some use. The alternative usage would be for what they call the practice nets. The practice nets are like a cage, big cage of steel poles running 30 metres down here. And you see that wicket there? This is a wicket. This here is a carpet of the wicket, and you have practice. So you could use that as well for your protection. Because that stuff, much do you think that netting cost me? Naked, on its own. 650 plus VAT. And that then requires some poles to hang it on. And what happened was, against the chairman's wishes, Tom thought he would need to use telegraph poles to hold it. And he got two telegraph poles. I wouldn't have afraid to even tell you the cost, because I didn't pay for them. And sure enough, there was objections from that house and that house, from a house over there, so we had to take down the telegraph poles, which now lie on the boundary, and replace them. You see those kind of neater little poles with those, which aren't... You see, telegraph poles are garish-looking things, and what's particularly unattractive about them is in Gaelic grounds, they have these big telegraph poles with horrible green netting to stop the ball. We don't want that in cricket.
Oh, his kashif.
Because believe it or not, if you're standing down there, you can't actually see the black netting. But if it was green netting, you would. But black netting, no, you can't see it from a distance, so it's unobtrusive. That's the netting.
And what's this is where the pavilion's going to go up, is
no,
it?
No, pavilion between the poles there.
Between the poles.
Okay, so you've got that there now for planning, is that
for
right?
For planning, yeah.
So what's going to happen next now?
Well, we have to wait now to see basically whether there's any objections put in. 13th, isn't it?
13th
of September, we understand the council will make their decision as to whether we've got the planning permission to build the pavilion.
How long have they been up there now?
Well, I suppose they've been up there about a month now, just over a month.
And they have to look like that?
Well, basically, there has to be red and white poles, basically, so that people can see them. And they're the actual length and the height of what the pavilion is going to be, so that people can see that it won't be obtrusive again, won't be blocking the view from over the road. And
they look like goalposts to me.
Yeah, but they're not. So I believe the council will be making their decision on the 13th of September. And fingers crossed, we don't get any objections, and then we can start building. We don't envisage getting any.
It's early 2017, and while there's still more to be done, Dave is reasonably happy with progress on the new cricket ground, now that it's going into its second season at the Oyster Oval.
So the facilities-wise, when this season's complete, we will have our grass-cutting equipment, we will have our mobile nets, we will have our side screens, we will have our pavilion, and there's only one thing left, and that's practice nets, which are very, very important for cricket, for specialised training. And after that, really, I can't think of anything else to do or to put in there.
Word is out that County Kerry Cricket Club has been nominated for the Club of the Year award by Cricket Ireland. Not only that, but the club has been offered a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play with a very special team from London.
Well, also, we're playing the MCC on the 29th of May. Now, the MCC is a major, major... MCC is Lords.
It's an interesting phase in Irish cricket.
Former Test cricketer and captain of England, Mike Gatting, is based in Lords Cricket Ground, home of the Marylebone Cricket Club.
They've battled really hard and they've produced some wonderful cricketers. I mean, Ed Joyce, Owen Morgan, you know, Porterfield, they've got Dockrell at the moment, and, you know, just go through the O'Brien brothers, in between one or two help from overseas players. But, you know, having someone like a Simmons as their coach, they're learning all the time, and I think they've got, as I say, some really good people with some really good strategies in place and some really good support and structure. And I think it'll take a little bit of time perhaps to get up to the heights they have done. I mean, Paul Sterling plays here at Middlesex. Owen Morgan plays here at Middlesex. We've had Ed Joyce at Middlesex. We've had most of the Irish, only possibly because I went over to Ireland and saw these young kids, and someone like Boyd Ranking as well.
The MCC, over the past number of seasons, have been playing in Dublin and Cork in a little tour. They play more games than any other cricket club in the world. They were playing Cork last season, and the talk was about the new cricket club in Kerry, a new cricket ground. So I said, great. I talked to Richie and I talked to a couple of boys, and we were trying to work out the standard. And these guys would be young. When I say young, early 20s, that sort of age group, but of a very good standard. And simply what I do is what they call a County Kerry 11.
This is an exciting prospect, but of course it's going to put the club under more pressure to have the new pavilion finished on time for the visitors. The planning submission was successful, but now the work needs to begin.
I'm hoping to start next month. I mean, it's 12 metres by 5 metres. Basic stuff. A window there and two windows there, and I'd hope to have it finished by mid-April. I think it'll take 4 weeks. Just get the money.
And there was another issue. Up until this point, the only changing area was an open gazebo, not the most private of facilities, and a makeshift shed, which didn't offer much protection from the wild Kerry weather. And what about the cost? Dave's wife, Fionnuala, took charge of this essential activity, and the local community rallied around.
The players went into Tom Ross's caboosh, this tiny little shed, out of the weather. And then we were contacted from two sources, both of them anonymous. One source from North Kerry gave us €12,000 because he believed in the project and he believed in providing this facility for people coming in from other countries who wanted to celebrate their game. So then that meant we could actually think about building a pavilion. Other sources of money came in. We got 2,000 from somebody else. Somebody else gave us 2,000. These people do not play cricket every week. So now we had 16,000. We had no money. We had an overdraft. And Tully Credit Union believed in the club, rode in, agreed that we could finance, that they would help us. They provided bridging finance before grants came in. They were open to the idea of supporting us. That meant a lot as well because, Tully Credit Union is community-based. So then there was a pavilion.
Man in form is out on a dog, golden dog.
Yep,
it's the semi-final of the second division league against the visitors Limerick. A crunch game for Kerry if they want to take the Munster title. The day is calm, warm and sunny. Ideal for cricket. Unusual for Kerry. But this player from Limerick is having difficulties with the pitch after heavy rainfall the previous day.
One end is okay, it's dry, but the other end is the ground is like a bit slopy.
Wet.
So, and the other end from the bowling, one of the end where the bowlers will take a run up for the bowling is a bit wet and damp. So we are just waiting for the ground to get dry.
And how you face ball?
Boys are just trying their effort to make the dry. To make it dry.
Is that what he's doing over there with the brush?
Yeah, they're just cleaning the pitch water. And then trying to take away the water from the
There's some puddles pitch. In there.
Yeah.
So just trying to pick it up.
Yeah. A decision has been made for safety reasons to delay the play. Blanche, the club president, explains why.
I'm putting shoulders down and about 15 minutes, Sean said, huh?
It'll be a lot longer than that, Sean.
About 15 minutes and shoulders to it out.
The visitors Limerick and the home team Kerry spend the time practicing and warming up for this crunch match. The winners will go on to meet Tipperary in the final of the Munster League title.
We're doing very well. We're top of the league.
Probably could have been called.
And we play this game today, and we need to beat these today. Tipperary is second, and they can't catch us up. So that's why we're hoping this game is going ahead. We will have won the championship. Tipperary is second, and if we win this game today, they can't catch us anyway.
While they're all waiting around for the winds to pick up and dry out the ground, as well as efforts to brush the water down the incline, some of the guys tell me a little about themselves.
My name is Prateev. I'm from Limerick Cricket Club, and I'm with the club for the past 3 months now. This is my third game, I guess, for the club, and it's lovely to be here. Nice ground, nice view. Absolutely love it.
Where are you from?
Originally from India.
And what do you do here now?
I'm a software engineer working with Intel.
Happy in Ireland?
Very much, yes.
Are all your family here?
No, just me.
You lonely without your family?
No, I used to live in Scotland for a couple of years for my master's, so it's been 6-7 years I'm living out of my house, so it's okay. It's not that bad, you know.
My name is Amrit, and I'm from Nepal. I'm playing from Limerick Cricket Club against Kerry today, and it's wonderful ground here, and hoping to have a good game and individual performance as well.
My name is Shazib. I'm from Pakistan. I live in Tralee, and I am student in National Learning Network. I'm doing woodwork, and I'm playing 2 years ago here in my club, and I am a rounder. Thanks.
Well done. My name is Murad Shah. I'm from Pakistan, and we are playing for County Kerry, and we are now in Spa Ground in Tralee. I'm here from last 10 years. I'm working at the moment in Dingle. As a professional, I'm a chef. So today I take off. Especially for my match, for my county.
A couple of hours have now passed and still no improvements on the condition of the ground.
I hope we win the match, so we'll go to the final and we'll play next match again in Tipperary and County Tipperary.
The umpire and the captains of both teams agreed that the game will have to be abandoned. The visitors are going home empty-handed and disappointed, but there's tea and sustenance on board for the journey back to Limerick.
as far as tea is concerned, when there's a Division 2 game, there is always plenty of food on the table because all the lads bring food. You know, they're very, very good. They're very good. They work as a team and they're a nice set of lads.
What happens when a game is called off so close to the league final and so near to the end of the cricket season? Blanche explains.
It was abandoned because the ground was too wet. That's why the umpires had to call it off. But we since then found out that the game against Limerick is being refixed for this coming Saturday. Because in the second round of the Super Fours, you can have a refix of a game that's rained off. But fingers crossed, we have the best team possible out on Saturday. Two boxes of mini muffins and two packets of almond slices.
It's the day before the big game between County Kerry Cricket Club and MCC Lords London. The builders have finished the pavilion in record time, and Dave and Blanche and the team are putting the final touches for preparations for tomorrow.
You know, we get in there, it's not quite done yet. We've got the benches made for the lads during the week, and we're having trestle tables coming tonight for the teas tomorrow.
It starts at 1 o'clock, so things will start here around 11:30, 12 o'clock. The team's preparing to play, and the catering staff preparing for the cucumber sandwiches.
It's supposed to be like this tomorrow too, so it'll be fantastic if it is. You know, we don't want any rain or wind tomorrow. All together now.
All together now. The day has finally arrived for the opening of the club pavilion at the Oyster Oval. Visitors, MCC Lords, have arrived and the weather is dry, warm and calm. Perfect for a game of cricket. Just before the big game, Dave offers a few words of support for the home team.
Captain, just to thank everybody for coming, especially the boys from Limerick and Cork. It's a good side. And whilst it's a friendly game, we want to win. Follow your leader. Do the best you can. I have great faith in you.
I think Bay made 96. I think we're quite happy chasing that, so I think we're sitting in the driver's seat at the moment.
Welcome everybody to the Oyster Oval. This is a really big day in County Kerry cricket's long life. We're actually founded 30 years ago, and today we welcome the MCC, for which County Kerry Cricket Club are not only greatly honoured, but actually greatly humbled. Because as I stand here, there's a number of the founder members from 30 years ago who were shocked to hear that we had a fixture with the MCC. And we went back over the years and we said, never in our wildest dreams did we think we'd have a club of the calibre and of the fame of the MCC come and play in our grounds. So thank you very much to the MCC for being here today. I'm particularly delighted to welcome the neighbours. It's a big turnout from the Spa people, which really lifts my heart to see that they actually do realise we are a club and we are a cricket club and we're playing away. And I can see, and the feedback from all the neighbours has been nothing but positive. You can appreciate cricket is a bit alien in Kerry. It's a bit alien in this particular neck of the woods. But I think the ground does enhance the Spa village to a better degree. I've always told myself to prepare your speech before the big day. I'm delighted today to say
there was little or no preparation because of the confusion, etc., that's going on. And it's very simple and very easy for me to today be very proud to ask the man that made this ground possible, the owner of the lands, the local publican restaurateur, Mr. Jim McGrath. Without him.
Well done, Jim. Well done, Jim. Well done, Jim.
Without Jim McGrath, there would be no Oyster Oval. So.
I joined former Taoiseach at Dick Spring, where he came to witness history being made at the Oyster Oval.
Did I ever think I'd see MCC, one of the most famous names in cricket, playing cricket here in the Spa, overlooking Tralee Bay in front of the Oyster Tavern? What a remarkable achievement. And what a remarkable job they have done, turning what was really a marsh into this splendid cricket facility. And as we can see here today, it's just one fantastic facility.
Now, what's happening right now at play?
Right now, MCC are bowling. They've already had one bowler knocked out, if that's the right expression, after a few very short number of runs, actually. So they're in their, they're onto their second, third batsman, which is quite good for Tralee. I think there will be a perception that MCC would be a very strong team in comparison to Kerry Cricket. So it's a real test for the County Kerry cricket team today, and it'll be a little bit like Tralee Rugby Club taking on the All Blacks. So I think there will be a serious determination by the Kerry guys to keep the score, the MCC score, low if they have any chance of surviving in this game today.
And it's quite a mix of players from different countries. I understand it's nearly 13 countries that make up the County Kerry Cricket Club.
Well, if we had one from every country represented in our St. Patrick's Day parade, we'd have 55 nationalities, I believe, represented. Yeah, it's really international. And it's great to see. I think it probably represents the modern Ireland. And it's great to see all these people from New Zealand, from other Pakistan, I believe, India, out here representing County Kerry Cricket Club.
And they're an inspiration to the younger generation coming through.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think they are the foundation, really, of the redevelopment of cricket. I believe there was a cricket club in Kerry many, many years ago. But obviously it was in abeyance for a long time, and hopefully it's now going to re-emerge as a strong sport in the county. Probably never be as strong as Gaelic football, but there's room for all sports. I mean, my father was a great person for saying it doesn't matter what sport you play as long as you're playing sport. Get out and do something.
On Leather, the story of County Kerry Cricket Club, is produced by Gráinne MacPolan for News Talk 106 to 108 FM and funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.